Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. It's time for Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. So suit up in your full armor of God with your host, Pastor Roderick Williams, as we leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Amen to that. Breaking Chains, a special assignment. Good evening. God bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray all is well with you and your family out there all across the world. Wherever you are, I pray that, you know what, that you're just doing fine, that you're not panicking, that you're keeping your eyes open, you staying focused on what's going on around you. Stay up, stay woke, stay in prayer, but stay focused, brothers and sisters, stay focused. I want to greet you. Apostle Gant, if you're on, sir, can you open up with prayer for us, please?
Glory to God. Dear Heavenly Father, we come once again before you, Lord, seeking your face, Lord. We ask, Lord, Heavenly Father, that you go forth through this broadcast, Lord. Reach the hearts and minds of men. Father God, we give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. Father God, we give you all the praise. In the name of Yeshua, your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank God.
Amen. Y'all know how we do it. Suit up, put your full armor of God on. Let's get ready to break some chains. It's a special assignment. It's a Monday evening. Y'all ready? Let's go. Let's go.
To the ground, like I'm posted on the line. Go hard as you can, that's the only thing that's on my mind. Hopeless, ride it like we're playing in the Rose Bowl. Cross the line, through the cut, only thing I see is gold. When I got drafted, I was on a 23-1. Since I switched teams, well, let's say I'm probably 4-1. He took on my sin and divided it like hole in one. Never could repay him, but I'm playing like I own one. You know about the team. 1-1 to the 6, mix it with that full ride, boy, we're about to throw a pin. Roll up in your fitted diesel, about 126. If you know about your boy, you know there's nothing counterfeit. You know what I mean, it ain't nothing but a thing. If I never leave the bench, I still get a ring. Gotta know trade option and I never lose a game. Cause all we know is win, win, win.
To the plate, say my grace and then I'm out of here. Aiming for repentance like some vengeance, ain't no doubt in here. I just wanna win, it don't matter how I get it. Submission or get pinned, yeah, I'm swinging, I'm kicking. I make war, no UFC, but I bet you seeing me yelling my battle cry. Leave it all inside the ring, get a ring and a crown. Turn, no turning, girl, fight song, play it loud. This walk of music banging the crowd, they going wild. As I get the feel, I feel the night is epic. I can feel the love, that's it. I know it's hard, accept it, yeah. Hey, this win, whenever we going in. At the end of the night, it don't matter where we win. Toast it on the block, worldwide like who you pivot. Travel overseas, you still run, that's Olympic. Bring it back, no penalty, so it's first and ten. There's ain't no doubt in here. All we do is win.
We couldn't come then, yeah.
Breaking Chains, a special assignment. What's going on with you, Pastor Rod? It's on your radio, YAT Radio. We're doing it podcasting style. Hey, what's going on with you? 858-357-9137, wherever you're listening. Pick up the phone and get involved in the conversation tonight. Got a very special guest that we have on tonight. She's a Mobile native. We both Mobile natives. It's good to have somebody from home that you can bring on your show and let them talk about their special assignment, the great things that they're doing out here in the world. You know what I'm saying? And especially at a time like this, because this queen that I'm about to bring on, because, you know, she believes in men being the kings if they're standing up doing what they're supposed to do, and the females being the queen if they're stepping up doing what they're supposed to do. We all kings and queens. You know what I'm saying? We didn't come from that negativity that they try to create us about, and she'll tell you about that. But she's from Mobile, Alabama. She's out there doing a lot of things, and we're going to talk about that tonight. She's a mother of two, Taylor and Kennedy are her two daughters, and they're doing great things out here in the world, and we compliment them because they were very active here recently in Mobile, Alabama. So I want to introduce to some and bring to others that, and you know who she are. So those that are following this show just for tonight, because this special guest is here, thank you. Let me say thank you for joining in tonight, and welcome to Breaking Chains. Brothers and sisters out there, Miss Nicole Petit. How you doing, ma'am? Welcome.
What's up? What's
going on? Wow. It's been a while since you've been here, huh?
It has. It's been a minute. Thank you for bringing me on. It's always good to chop it up.
Absolutely. So I know that we got some very limited time because you're staying busy, and I know that. And I think that you're on the road right now. So first thing I want to ask you about, what are you doing right now? You got so much on your plate. How do you find time to do everything that you're doing right now?
Oh, man, that's probably one of the hardest questions to answer. I got a lot going on. I try to stay busy on purpose. That's something that I just feel like an idle mind is not good for anybody. So if I'm not active, then I always try to keep myself busy with reading and trying to make sure that I'm prepping myself and my children for our next big thing, whatever the case may be. I think what scares me the most, and probably what motivates others as well, is it's just me. So if I don't make shit happen, there's nobody else that's going to do it. So I'm always looking for the next thing to make sure that whatever the case may be, me and my girls are good. So whether, you know, I have a 9-to-5, you know, I don't talk about that much. I said I was going to start talking about it because I think it's essential to our children for them to know mm-hmm. that they can accomplish goals. They can do things that people tell them that they can't do.
Right.
I had my six-figure club here in Mobile, and, of course, I had to dismantle that because I've moved to Huntsville, and I'm getting ready to get that started in Huntsville again. We're having to make sure we prep it the proper way. But because of these type of exposures, I think I should start talking about my career more. I think I need to, but I'm in the IT field. So my 9-to-5, I'm an IT nerd, and we are not, as far as Black women are concerned, it's not that many of us in it. Typically, when I go to a boardroom, I'm the only Black there or the only Black woman there. So I do acknowledge the need for STEM. And we're not exposed to those type of roles to know that they can be accomplished, and it's a beautiful thing. So between my 9-to-5 and me reading and making sure coming back and forth to Mobile to move my girls to Huntsville to make sure they have everything they need here every day, you know, it keeps me busy. It keeps my mind going because I always have this what if type of mentality, like what if my children need this, I have to make sure that I have it. You know, it's just me. So that's how my mind goes on a typical daily basis. I have to shut it down at night. As most know, I have anxiety. I have anxiety really bad. And I think my anxiety now stems from me being far away from my children because I have to be on 10 or on, I wake up on 10, but I'm on 60 by 8 o'clock at night because I'm just fidgety. I'm like, okay, what I got to do next? Or what if my girls call me and say this? Or what if my mom call me and say they need this? I have to be on ready. You know, it's like, I hate to metaphorically say it's like military. You have to be on ready, but that's how I feel. I'm literally on 60 by the time 8 o'clock gets here at night. So if I haven't rest my mind, I'm picking up a book. Okay, what can I learn? Right now I'm reading a book about investments because that's what's going on today. You know, I don't know everything about the stock market, but I'm a little wise enough to know this is the time to invest. You know, I tell people now who ask me about the stock market, well, what do? Well, I'm going to take one of my mentors, Dr. Boyce Watkins, who says, you can't play the game if you're not in it. So regardless what you know, you can't win at all if you're not in it. You know, you have to be willing to take a risk, of course. So I dabble in stock now. I've done well so far. I'm still a little conservative with it, but that's my next move, you know, just making sure I'm on top of whatever I can be on top of nonstop. And I'm fortunate enough to be able to wake up and be able to go and do what I need to do for my children, you know, if not for myself, for my children. So I don't have an all-day assignment to being a day in the life of Nicole, because whether it's physical movement or my mental movement, it's insane. You know, my children call me weird. I'll take that. I'll take that weird hashtag all day long because I am a unicorn in my mind. That's what I have going on.
So before I go any further with this, here's a question for you. Where do you find your peace, and where is your peace, and is there any peace? Because listening to you right then, you're constantly until you try to get sleep when anxiety is hard to rest. So where is your peace? Where's your rest? Where's your peace? Where's your sanctuary?
My peace actually comes from my peace came probably about 2.5 years ago is when I initially got the peace I needed to keep going. And what I say by that is what peace means to me is completely different from others. I have a type A personality. So if you put me in an environment to where everything is slow moving, I won't be able to function in that environment. That is a chaotic environment for me. So being in an environment where typically would be peaceful to someone else would probably drive me crazy because that's just my personality. That's who I am. I think it's learned. My mom is the same way. Oh, my God. She's almost 70 years old in April, and she is just as busy. She can't be still, you know. And, you know, a lot of times it has something to do with your mental. You know, we don't recognize it in the Black community as we should. But it's something that maybe she should have paid attention to. You know, when I realize how hyperactive she is, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is where I got it from. But if you put me in an environment where most people consider peace, it would not be my peace. It would drive me crazy. But if you put me in an environment where, you know, it's not, I don't want to use the word busy because there's a difference between being busy and being productive. If you put me in an environment where we're productive, then that's my
You're at peace. Okay.
That's my peace.
Okay.
So, it's, you know, even at my 9-to-5, when I typically start at any type of new environment when it comes to my career, I can't stand the training mode. Because that's a slow-moving, slow-paced type of, you know, environment in the beginning. It's, you know, and I'm a doer. I've always been a doer. So in the beginning of any, I've had anxiety attacks at work. So embarrassing because it's slow-paced moving in the beginning, and I'm ready to do something. I'm ready to be productive. And that's not peaceful to me. So, and I'm sure you get that, but that my peace is when I'm able to do what I want to do, do what I need to do. I do have to shut my brain down at night, like I said, because it's forever gone. But that's my peace. If you put me in an environment where it's just too laid back, I'm probably going to have a panic attack of some sort, probably. But not to say that I don't want to get there, because I do, because I know with me being so busy now, I'm not going to always be this busy. And I hope that I won't. I hope that everything that I'm doing now, I'm setting myself up and my children up for just as much success. So when I am older, I can relax.
Absolutely.
That's what,
Absolutely.
You know, most of my peers tell me, you need to relax. Yeah, I probably do. I'm the one in the room that's just, I'm just ready to work. Regardless of what's going on, I'm ready to work. And that is my peace, which is crazy, I know, but that's my truth.
Well, no, I wouldn't call that crazy, because you said something that was very powerful in that. It says that, you know, as long as it's productive, and I'm same way. I want to see the things being produced. You know, let's have some action going on with some productivity in it. So that's fine. That's great. That's understandable too. Let's talk about your being active in the community and your activism and being known out, just speaking out and standing up for issues that go on in our community. And when I say our community, as Black people, you being very outspoken. Talk about that for a second. Because you're very active with that. So tell me about
that. I mentioned earlier about the Six Figure Club. Shout out to all my Six Figure Club students and parents. I really wish it was a way that I could continue that in Mobile because it was founded here. We had so much fun. They trusted me with their children. It was, and I loved it. So, of course, because of that, I'm trying to continue that in Huntsville. I tried to get it started initially in Huntsville once I first moved up there, but it didn't fly over too well, and I get it. People don't know me in Huntsville. More people know me now, so it's something that we're going to attempt to start again once, you know, we get past this panic. And
right.
That's what I prefer to call what we're going through now. I don't want to call it a pandemic. I don't like speaking life into stuff like that.
Right.
I do believe in manifestation, so I just call it a panic because that's what we really are doing more of than
Absolutely.
Anything else. But once that settles, then I'm going to try to reintroduce it again. And what the Six Figure Club is it introduces students in our community who looks like us ways to be exposed to making six figures. Because the
mm-hmm.
educational system, I do not knock the educational system, especially the public school system. I came through it. My children came through it. And we're doing just well. Because I, at the end of the day, I don't think it's our educators' responsibility to train up our children. I still think it's the parents' responsibility to train up our children because we have to be able to
Absolutely.
Reinforce whatever it is they're teaching us. But there are a lot of things that I just felt like as I raised my girls, that the education system misses. Like, for instance, just basic banking. Those are things that we need to live, and we're not educating our children things of that nature. Or basic six-figure careers in general, things that they have never heard of before, and we have our juniors and seniors are preparing for college, and they're just going to college. Again, that's just busy. You know, I'm raising my children. If they don't get into a STEM program at a university, then I really don't support them going to school at all. Now, I don't put that out there typically. I've never put that out there. You know, I encourage education because education is education. But I do believe that going to college is a system. It's still all a system. So if you don't take advantage of that system, then you'll fall in the cracks. I was fortunate enough because I am a busy person. My undergrad is in finance. I didn't have anyone to say, "If you, Nick, go to school for this." I had an educator to say, "Go to school for finance and you'll never be without a job." I didn't know anything else. Well, the Six Figure Club introduces these students to occupations and careers where they can grow six figures and then hopefully turn that money into entrepreneurship of some sort where they can thrive and they don't have to borrow from the bank. That's the purpose, exposing them to things that otherwise they would never be exposed to. We take them to fine dining. We take them to college tours. We take them to events that goes on that educates them on the history of Black people. We've done all of that, you know, take them to do coding at the banks. And all this is funded by the community. Fortunately enough, for whatever reason, and I thank the community, they trusted me to donate, to give money, to provide without us having to use any of the money out of our pocket because a lot of us, and I'm one, we don't have funds for all of that. You know, when these children want to go to college tours, I think they need to go. They need to see it. We had people like Fitzgerald Wright would donate, you know, and he would provide us. Of course, I was using Black-owned establishment to provide all of this. He would donate and provide us some of the opportunities to use his business, and he would transport us back and forth to these college tours. So that was a beautiful thing.
Right.
Now, I am so happy to say again that I have a Juneteenth event here in Mobile where my first 2 years were rocky, but it was something that was not going on. And I'm persistent. I always teach or try to tell people longevity is what matters. So, you know, we're microwave babies. We're just like our children. We're microwave babies. We want things to happen
right.
immediately. Well,
right.
I don't have a problem with letting things simmer. So the first 2 years of the Juneteenth program or the Juneteenth celebration, shout out to Mark Jackson. He allowed me to use his facility to start this because nobody was doing this in Mobile. Well, of course,
mm-hmm.
me being a community activist, I don't want to just party. We have enough promoters doing that. How can we turn this party into a purpose? Again, I like to be productive. So the first 2 years I raised money. It wasn't much, but I was able to raise some money, and we were able to put that and contribute back to the six-figure club. Well, the third year, which was last year, I said, okay, we won't do ticket sales because we were just – I was spending money that really wasn't necessary. I wasn't selling all the tickets. And I'm like, okay, let's find out another way to do this because I'm not a promoter. That's nothing – that's not my specialty. So I said, okay, I'll just start a fundraiser on social media. And then I had one particular young lady, and she's my girl now. I got to give her a shout-out, Keisha Brown. The fundraiser was only set for $1,000, and my goal was to give two students, particularly I would have preferred from HBCU, $500 each to do whatever they needed to do for the school year. I wasn't making this a hard scholarship to win because we are already participating and competing with everything. I didn't want to make this a big competition. You know, they got it. They struggle enough. Let's not do what everybody else is doing.
Right.
I want to do something different. So we didn't do that. Well, she said, you know what, Nicole, I got your $1,000. Match it. I'm like, okay, that's what we're doing. So she donated $1,000. I started the fundraiser with $1,000. And, I mean, the gates just opened. And we ended up raising over $5,000 in cash. In amount of 30 days to donate to these students. So we went from $500 a piece, and we ended up giving out several scholarships because I had one of my other dear friends, DeWanna Davis, Dee, she came and donated some of her specialty. And then I had someone else, Nicole Edwards, she came in and she donated some stuff that she's doing. So I'm like, oh my gosh, like how did this happen? It was huge. I'm sorry, Nicole Hollins. It was huge last year. So this year I'm like, okay, we're going to try it again and we're going to see, you know, how much money we can raise. And I'm so transparent till I was able to show everyone, listen, I'm not keeping a dollar of this money. All of it is going directly to the children. I cut the check. I posted the check. Some of the students were there on site with their parents. So I just gave them cash.
Yeah, I saw the picture.
Out.
Yeah.
So everybody, I think at this point, they know I'm not one. I'm fortunate enough to not need it. And I say fortunate because anything can happen tomorrow, and I'm aware of that. So I'm fortunate enough to not need any of that. If it gets to a point to where I did, I just wouldn't even have a fundraiser. Because you never know what you'll do when you're in need of anything. I don't ever want to find out. So if I ever got in a situation and I'm raising funds and something financially, I run up on some type of hardship, I wouldn't take care of the fundraiser. I wouldn't even want to be in a situation to see if I'll do that. I could tell you all day what I wouldn't do. And I hate for people to say, I wouldn't do that. You don't know what you'll do if you've never been in that situation. But fortunately, people trust me to see, okay, she's going to do what she says she's going to do, and I always will because it's not about me. It's about these children. I see so many. I still mentor a lot of our students here. I still get phone calls and text messages from students who live in two-parent homes, and they're stressed out. They're stressed the hell out, and I mean they're really stressed. And all I can tell them is it's better to stress while you're young. You know, you're dealing with school, especially with what's going on now, seniors, they're not able to walk across the stage or they're not having prom. Then they're young enough, their heart can take it, their mind can take it. Then the stress when you're my age, now you're dealing with stroke, heart attack, or you're stressing about bills. Well, you need to stress now at your young age. College is going to be stressful. Finding who you are is going to be stressful. You're going to go through so many stressful things in life as you're young. It's okay. Keep pushing. If someone comes to me and say, what am I supposed to do? My only advice is to keep going. If you stop, then you have no chance of doing anything. So keep going through that stress. That's what I teach my children. My children know they can't come to me with some BS about, Mama, they can't whine. I am probably one of the least nurturing people when it comes to things that we deal with on a daily basis because they have to understand that life is hard. It's what you make of it. I remember making a post on my birthday last year about, you know, the stereotypical when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. Well, I truly believe if life gives you lemons, you cut them bitches up and take them with your vodka and turn up. That's the way I see it. You have to be able to change the dynamics of what is thrown at you, or you will not survive, because this world is cruel. So I just try to educate my students or any child that comes to me. I'm going to give them the real, because that's how my mom raised me. I turned out okay. And as general as that sounds, we have parents that are beating their children's ass, and they think that's cool, and it's not cool. So I try to walk. My mom raised me this way, and I'm okay, because others may not view it the same, and I get that. But I'm raising my children the same way my mom raised me. My mom smoked, but I know I didn't want to raise my children in that environment, but I learned that I didn't want to do that either. So you have to pick and choose what you're doing as far as raising the children and what's going to be beneficial to them. And right now, with it being just us three, I have to be careful with what I show them, or what I'm trying to show them, or what I want them to see, because I've always stressed, children don't do as you say, they do as you do. Regardless of what you say to them, they're going to do what you do, because it's learned. The eye takes in everything. So even in the midst of me being a single parent, I don't want my children to ever see me with a man that can't love me, because they're going to assume that it's okay for a man to not love them. So I just stay away from all of that until that time comes, because if he can't show me and my girls love, he can't be around me or my children, because it's still a learning process. They're still young. So even in the midst of me trying to live my best life, I still have to be careful of what's presented to my children. So all that being said, that's what all I have going on as far as me continuing to be an activist, continuing to make sure that I do my part in the world, in the community, whatever I can. Whenever someone needs to donate, if I can donate, I do, whether it's $5 or whether it's $20. I do what I can, you know, or I educate whenever I can. That's what I do, because that's what brings me joy. That's what makes me happy. That's what gives me life. Again, I can't, being at, you know, sleep all day, could not do it. If you force, you will have to put me to sleep. I can't do it. It's something that is just not easy to do. But that's what okay. I have going on.
Okay, okay. You said something about, you know, you gotta just keep it real. It's the way you was raised. And one thing about it here, that was one of the main reasons of doing this podcast and keeping it going, because, you know, a lot of people are tired of having things watered down, a lot of BS thrown at them, and you know what I'm saying, a bunch of lies and all this. We're getting it all over the world. It's coming at us, and, you know, we're the most hated people walking on the earth, because we're the most powerful people walking on earth.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I feel that is once we realize that, and I think one of the things that's also just blowing people and pushing people to the left and to the right and not into a unified form is that the spirituality of things. I think all of the God talk, the Jesus talk, the Muslim talk, the Buddhist, all these different things is doing a lot of tugging and pulling at everybody's minds too. And I think a lot of people have gotten to the point where I'm going to follow this person because I know this person is popular, or whatever the case may be, or that's that whatever. Here, you know, we're not afraid to say, hey, we trust God. We put God first in everything that we do, period.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's just, you know that. Everybody know that's who I am. That's what I do. I ain't going to stand down for it. You know what I'm saying? So, and the thing about that, I say that to say this, that you send them things and you put them in your books. You're focused, fearless, and fighting. Your book there, you said you wanted to help with parenting issues, having parents to raise up their children, listening to you. I can see why that book came out of you. Tell us a little bit about that book, but also tell us about your new book that's coming out, The Strength of a Woman, that you're working on right now. Tell us about your book, because, see, your books are needed in the time, like right now, when everybody has to be at home. They need to be reading, focusing, writing, to prepare themselves for things that are coming at us right now. You know, I think that we're not paying attention to things that are going on, and you writing books, even that book right there. Tell us about those books. Talk about that.
Okay. Those are two of my pride and joys. The first one, fighting, it was another moment, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, I actually came up with the title. It was a random thought, and I stuck with it. But that book, I wrote it with my heart. It came specifically from, I think, social media. Well, I know social media had a lot to do with it. I brag different than a lot. Some brag just like I do. But I brag on my children. You know, I don't brag on things or materialistic things. That's just,
right.
I've never done that. So I've always bragged on my children, or I've always bragged on what I have accomplished when I've helped the community, not an individual, because I don't believe in that at all. But when it comes to the community coming together as a whole, I always speak of collectivism. So the book came from people actually asking me, well, Nick, how did you get through that? Or Nicole, how did you get through that with your children? So people started asking me my opinion, because that's all it is, because we all go through trial and error as parents. So I just decided to write my trial and errors down. They have been successful to me. I've had to go back and apologize to my children for things, you know, that I've done. And what I had to realize even then is we're human first. We will make mistakes. My daughter, my oldest daughter now, she'll be 18 in 2 days. And on her 18th birthday, she will never be 18 again. So whatever choices I make on her 18th birthday will be the first and the last. And I have to understand that whatever I do that day or tomorrow in the next 15 minutes will be the first time that I actually have that encounter with her. And I have to step back and recognize, okay, I was wrong. And I am an adult enough to say, baby girl, mama was wrong. And I apologize. You gain so much more vulnerability with your children when you let them know you're human first. When you let them know that you're teaching them right or wrong, and you're allowing them to know that you may have right or wrong too, and you have to learn from it, and you guys can grow together. Purpose of the book mainly was to help educators. I take my hats off to every educator, and I call them educators because I think they're more than teachers. They're the counselor, they're the mom, they're the dad, they're everything. Within
Absolutely.
Those 8-9 hours. So I just think teacher is so loosely used to, I'm almost offended when I hear people say teacher. I prefer them to be educators. But it was for the educators to try to help them help themselves. In other words, they deal with so much to, you know, we always say, well, it starts at home, and then we leave it alone. Like, that's the end goal. Well, it starts at home, so you can't do nothing about that. Well, I said, okay, let me write this book. Hopefully some parents will read it. Hopefully it will help them in some form or fashion, because they're called lessons. And it's from lesson 1 to lesson 7. It starts from perception to how you end up on top of this man or on the bottom of this man, to that child going off to college, or you finding out that they may be, you know, lesbian or gay. How do you deal with those things mentally? And it's just from K-5 all the way up to that age. So it was to help parents help the educators deal with their own children. I don't even like the word deal. I hate that. I hate when people say, how do people deal with you? Like, I don't want to be handled. I don't like that. But it was to help the educators. But these schools, they'll be in a better spirit, in a better mindset to actually learn, and they won't be acting out. Because one thing that we have to realize is those children are acting out for a reason, whether they were called a bitch or a hoe or slapped across the head before they went to school that morning, or if they didn't eat at all, or if they watched their mom get beat. These are real-life stories. And if we're not in those environments, or if we're not reading about those things, we tend to tune it out. It's almost like racism. You don't want to deal with it if you don't have to. And, yes, that's a very broad statement, but that's what it is. So we tune it out because we have our own issues to deal with in our own homes. And we have to understand a lot of these children are going through those are adult stresses that they should not be going through as children. So what is the best remedy, in my opinion? Only if you can't give a child anything else, you can give them love. You can give them a hug every morning. You can encourage them every morning. Even if they didn't have food on the table that day, you can give them hope. And regardless of whether we agree with our 44th president, hope is something that we have to have in order to continue to push through. If I didn't have that hope 2.5 years ago, I can assure you I would not be where I am today. I had to believe in something in order to keep pushing, because I probably was at my worst. I hope it doesn't get any worse than it was, you know, emotionally and mentally. But I had to believe in something. So if you can't do anything else for your children, you can give them hope, but you have to show that as well. You can't be disrespectful to to your children. I always hear people say, you have to earn my respect. Well, I think that's BS. Respect should be given to everybody, even your children. Don't disrespect
that's right.
them because you're a mama or you're a dad and you're trying to prove something. That makes any sense to me. That shows that you have self-esteem issues on your own when you have to manage your children that way. As a matter of fact, to me, that's not managing your children at all. They have hearts and minds just like you do, and they're more absorbent of whatever you're instilling in their minds at such a young age. So you have to be mindful of that. So the book in general is just to help parents love their children more. How do you deal with things that come up, that come about that normally you wouldn't know how to deal with, or you deal with it in anger, or you're raising your children how your mom and dad raised you. You're just tapping that ass. You know, you're not talking to your children. Even in the midst of me disciplining my children, after they've been disciplined, I do have a conversation because I think it's abusive when you don't have those conversations with your children. To this day, both of my children know if I tell them no, they know the main reason is because of safety. If my oldest daughter, my youngest daughter, who is more social, if she wants to go hang out, if I tell her no, she whines. She whines more than my oldest did, but she understands that something, I'm missing something. I'm the child. My mom knows best. I know she's not trying to punish me. She's concerned about my safety, so it's best that I not go. That doesn't mean she doesn't have to be upset about it. I allow her to be emotional about it, but you got to be emotional about it in the other room. Don't stress me out. Don't stress me out about it. That, you know, we get mad or we tend to let our children go because we want them out of our hair. And my children, I tell them to this day, you can be mad all day. You're going to be mad right here in this house with me because I get to wake up and see you in the morning. You'll be okay. You'll be over it. I'm that type of parent. So I put all of that in that book so we can just try to encourage each other. Okay, let me try this method and see if it works. Okay, well, I shouldn't have done that. Maybe let me try this. And it may not work. You know, all the methods in that book may not work, but I can guarantee you there's something in that book that will work for you. I guarantee you, or there's something in that book that you never thought of, and you'll try it, and it'll work for you. And that was the purpose of that book. I get out and do speaking engagements about it. The purpose was to get out and do speaking engagements at the schools. My best and biggest speaking engagement was at Palmer Pillins Middle School. I did a speaking engagement with a group of the young ladies, and it was beautiful. And even with speaking with the principal, she's advised me, no one has been able to communicate with the students. We're talking about 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. You know, they're on their phones. They're not paying attention, typically, rightfully so. They have so many distractions. Even in the book, I talk about you have sex as a distraction, drugs as a distraction, gossip as a distraction, fighting as a distraction, and then the other 20% is education. How much of that? They have 80% distractions and only 20% of what they're going to school for. They're clearly distracted now. We didn't have those issues growing up. So when I went to that school after the speaking engagement was over, the children charged me, almost knocked me over. They were crying. They were hugging on me. They were loving on me. I gave them as much love as I could back. But that, those are the things that, that makes me feel like I've done something. If I didn't do anything else today, I touched somebody's child to where they view things a little bit different. Maybe they won't, you know, if they came to school angry, they have a little hope. And that's why I want to do as many speaking engagements in these schools to our children, because we don't have anyone to influence us or to motivate us to get up and start tomorrow. Or, yes, you may be living in poverty today, but, baby, hold on, because tomorrow could be different or next year could be different. Just try to plan and continue to manifest and see things differently. And that's what I do when I do the speaking engagements as far as that book is concerned. Now, my new book, The Strength of a Woman, and I keep going back and forth from The Strength of a Woman to The Soul of a Woman, and I got a feeling I'm going to continue to, I'm going to go back to The Strength of a Woman, but I'm not sure yet. This book talks about trials, tribulations, dealing with anxiety, because more of us deal with anxiety than we're willing to admit. Some of us think it's norm, don't even realize it is anxiety. And I talk about the importance of anxiety, and it can kill you, and we don't realize how serious anxiety is. I've been in the hospital twice coping with my anxiety. I've worn a heart monitor coping with anxiety. It really is something serious that we don't pay much attention to, and I'm trying to bring and acknowledge that so we'll be more aware of it and take better care of ourselves. But the book typically just talks about me being at what I consider the bottom. I'm sure it could have been worse for others. It didn't pertain to any, well, it did pertain to one death, which is one of the closest people that has passed away, and I miss her dearly. So how did I get to where I am now? How did I survive mentally to get to where I am now? With the things that I do have going on with my mental health, how did I make it thus far with just me? What allowed me to keep pushing? Oh, if I did have a breakdown, what did I do to get back up? So it's another motivational book to let people know if you get down, it's really up to you to stay there. You have a choice to either stay there and waddle in it, or you can make a decision to get up. I've always talked that time is our worst enemy. It is never on our side. So how long you waddled in your sorrow or your sadness can determine your next future opportunity, whether it be a bus or whether it be something successful. It's up to you to determine it. I remember when I filed for my divorce, and I write about this in my book, so I'm giving you a little peek. When I filed for my divorce, I did not want to file for divorce, but it was something that I knew I had to do. And I remember in the midst of me signing those papers, my attorney said, "Are you sure you want to do this?" Because I was crying so bad. I was snotting all over the paper. And he stopped me and said, "Are you sure you want to do this?" And, you know, barely being able to talk, I shook my head, "Yes, yes." And he printed those papers out. And we continued to sign the papers. And that moment, those are the moments that I realized how strong mentally I really am. That wasn't the first, and it will not be the last. But that was one of my aha moments that I forced myself to use my brain and not my heart when it came to decisions, because I always speak on now that a decision in your life can be, it could be breathtaking. It could be breaking in your life, you know, just based on one decision that you make. And those were one of the decisions that I had to make in my life. And it's been wonderful since I've made that decision. Have I made decisions that weren't so great? Absolutely. But am I making the decision when I make a decision that doesn't benefit me to be able to get out of it? Yes, attitude is everything. And I have to realize, okay, if I made this mistake and it wasn't beneficial, I'm still here. Everyone is still good and healthy. All right, keep it going. And that's how I have to look at everything in life, because we only get one shot. I cannot stress that enough. If I choke on my saliva tonight and pass out dead, that's it. That is no more Nicole. Nobody will see any more pictures. My children will be left without me. That's just it. And so I try to be as happy as I can. I try to be as positive as I can. I try to motivate as much as I can, because things could be so much worse than they are in today's world. So my book, The Strength of a Woman, just clearly talks about when I fail, what did I do to get up? How did I motivate myself when I had nobody else in my corner, when I had nobody else to motivate me, when me and my daughters, when I knew at those moments that nobody else was coming to save us, it had to be me or nobody at all. What did I do to get over those obstacles? Did I waddle in my cries? No. But what did I do? So I talk about all of that in the book in great details on some of the events that took place in my life, not anything too personal, but just in my life and how I managed to get up and continue on with my life and just keep living. And I wanted to motivate, because there are so many women, of course, since I've become a single woman, there are so many women that are struggling behind the scenes that are not as transparent as I am, and they hide it. And, you know, on social media, they try to maintain and be cool, calm, and collected, and we're all the same. We're swans. We make it look good, and we're smooth sailing on top of that water, but you better believe it, damn it. Underneath that water, we paddling like hell to stay afloat. We all are doing that. So many of us are anyway, more than we can imagine. So having these conversations with these cluster groups of ladies, beautiful women that I have these conversations with, they need just as much motivation as I needed the motivation. I still need motivation. Fortunately for me, I have my children. My children are my worst critics. But they're going to tell me what it is, because that's what I've taught them to do. So the second book is to just allow women in general and men to be able to get up whatever you do at the end of the day. If you're allowed to get up, don't wait, don't waddle on anything, because time is not on your side and never will be. When people say, "Oh, you got time." No, you don't. You don't have time. Yes, you should pick time to rest, but that's a time for that. You don't spend extra time doing things that are not productive, because tomorrow is not promised to nobody. The next 5 minutes are not promised to anyone. And we don't take that seriously enough until someone passes away. And then we're talking about it. You know, give me my roses while I'm alive, where I can see them. Don't wait till I pass away and then honor me. It's not doing me any good at all. So
absolutely.
I try to focus on that. And that's what the second book talks about. And I can't wait. I can't wait, because it's good and juicy, but I can't wait.
Definitely looking forward to that. Definitely looking forward to it. And it's something, because you said it's good for men and women, and because we definitely, men especially, we need to learn to have these type of conversations. We hold a lot of things in, and I'm just, I hold myself accountable for everything. But I also don't mind just saying on this microphone that, guess what? And I'm going to speak for me. I can't speak for every man. But being a man, I know what I feel. I know what men can go through. And we don't like to express our feelings and emotions. And a lot of our emotions come out of anger. They're shown in anger. We're raising our voice. And it's a lot of things that we need to sit down and talk about. And just, you know, because what I've been through, you may not have been through, about to face it. And you need to know how to get out of that. So those type of books are good. That book is going to be good for everybody. I encourage everybody to hit it. When it hits the shelf, pick it up. But go and get now Focus, Fearless, and Fighting. One of my favorite books I read is God's Good Word. And one of the scriptures in there says, train up a child in a way he should go, so when he's older, he will not depart from it. So, that book right there helps you to get on guide with that. So something else I want to talk about. You working on a movie script, Black Supremacy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that right there. The title right there got me intrigued.
I know. That's another 2-3 o'clock in the morning up writing and typing and moving furniture, whatever it is I'm doing when I can't go to sleep. But that movie is, I'm a little nervous about the script, because the purpose is not to anger anyone, because it will. I mean, it's an emotional manuscript so far, but it's about showing empathy. You know, we're the only ones that I know of that have gone through the trauma as far as slavery is concerned. So in this particular movie, we are all familiar with white supremacy. This particular movie just flips everything. So whereas the slaves were black, the slaves are not black in this movie. Or where the masters were white, the masters are not white in this movie. So I'm sure you get the gist of where I'm going with this. So it's just a matter of...
don't tell no more of your movie. Where, we wait on that to hit the big screen.
I want to buy the big screens to take it over. But it is my purpose of that is for people to empathize, because people of different ethnicities tend not to really... They can empathize, but they choose not to. But if you put them in those shoes, where they can actually visualize it and see it, it might kind of change their thought process a little bit. So that was the purpose. So
those out there with them intrigued ears, we about to close and we through talking about that. So moving on, we all want to come looking for you out there. Listen, let's take a step away from that. Preacher in your place, preacher. I'd be praying over you. I don't want to. you are also a talk show host, so you are in your environment right now. Inquisitive I am. Tell us about your show. It's going great. I'll be checking out the clips and seeing things and listening. Just talk about your show.
If you want to talk about a relax or my peace mode, those type of environments, that's my peace mode right there. That's doing things that I have a passion for. But the show actually originated with my divorce attorney. We talked about some things that I had going on. And at the time, I wanted to do a podcast. And I actually did one of his shows that he used to have, and we talked about, how well that show went. And he was like, hey, let's do it. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. At that time, I wasn't working. I had lost my contract at the time. So, again, this was when I was I was at a low point in my life when I had so much going on, and I wasn't working. And I'm like, okay, I ain't doing much anything else. That's fine. Let's do it. You know, that gives me some inspiration. So we started the show, and I wanted the show to talk about well health, you know, all the great things that were going on in the community, try to steer away from as much negativity, and to educate. It's all about me, Kating. I guess most people know I do quite a lot of reading. I'm the one that will read a sign. If we pass a sign with a name on it, I'm going to at least Google it to figure out why is this street name. But anyway, that's the nerd part of me. So I wanted to basically educate as many as I could with what was going on in the community. And that's how the show got started. We were originally doing it once a week, but of course I moved, and I didn't want to lose the substance of the show. So I only do shows now when there's a show of substance. I call it typically professional drama because I steer away from just drama with no substance or rhetoric. That's just not who I am. Actually, that type of drama stresses me out, makes me twitch. I stay away from it. Anybody can do that, but anybody can't get on a show and talk about things that means the most or that will cause a special type of change in your community. So that's what I stick to. In the beginning, you know, of course, the views were slow, and the views are still fairly slow, but I'm okay with that because I'm in my comfort zone. I'm doing right, what I want to do, and I refuse to rear off into drama or something of no substance just to get more views because that's not who I am. That's not what I'm trying to do. Those who choose to watch the show will. Those who choose not to, and they won't. You know, it's something for everybody. And that's what right. the show is about. And it is. It's doing better now. Every show gets better. So I'm super excited about it. I would love to get that started in Huntsville as well. So that's what that show is. It's my brand. Inquisitive I Am is my brand. And that's what that show is about.
That's good. That's good. And I know how you feel about that because I've been doing Breaking Chains now. We just turned 11 years old this year. And
congratulations.
It's been something. We get I've had a lot of feedback, a lot of negativity, because what we do is we go after the truth. We expose the truth.
Right.
Doesn't matter what it is. We want to expose the truth. You talk about the Bible is the white man's book. We tell you mm-hmm. why this book was written about you. Forget it's called the Bible.
Right.
It's God's word written about you as a black man and a black woman.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
And then we talk about, okay, they told you that you come from slaves. We tell you they lying to you. You come from kings
right.
and queens. You understand?
Right,
you
right,
built this
right.
country. You built this world.
Right.
God created, and then he gave it to you to have dominion over it. So, you know, we switch roles with them. We live in their life, and they live in life. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
and we talk about how that switch took place. And we get a lot of feedback. We get a lot of flack now. I get a lot of negativity
right.
and a lot of calls. We've had some calls come in and tell us, you know, like, nigga, get off the radio. We don't want to hear that kind of stuff. You know, we get that kind of stuff. And we like, okay, cool. This was going to make us keep going, you know, because
exactly.
you listening,
exactly.
we ruffling your feathers because we telling
exactly.
the truth and we got
exactly.
facts to back it up.
Right.
You know,
you put
so,
and everybody,
yeah,
you're putting a mirror. Mm-hmm.
And we applaud everything that you're doing out there. But I know that you are traveling, you're doing a lot. So when are you planning for your next big event? Is your next big event going to be Juneteenth in Mobile?
Yes. Yes, that is my next big event That's my next biggest event is the Juneteenth down here in Mobile at my homie's place, Kazula. June 20th, celebrating the day party. I've already started the fundraiser. I have not been promoting the fundraiser as of not. I feel like it's a little selfish with everything going on and, you know, so many of us are in a financial bind. So I just don't think it's appropriate right now to promote the fundraiser. Definitely to promote the actual party because the party is a free party. You know, we come in and we have a good time. And I just want everybody to recognize Juneteenth. You know, we have a lot of back and forth on social media about, you know, celebrating other holidays, St. Patrick's Day or Cinco de Mayo. I don't have an issue with, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's mostly because we are social people. We love to have fun. You know, you could call it chicken and noodle day, you know, whatever you want to call it, if it's an event where people can get together and celebrate, then that's what we're willing to do, especially if it's an off day and you want to call it barbecue hump day. I don't care what you call it. If it's an off day and it allows people to get together, then that's what I think the end goal is as far as celebration is concerned. So I don't have an issue with any other holiday or people of my culture going to celebrate any other holiday. You know, go out and have a good time. All I ask is that we recognize our own holidays. You know, we
Absolutely.
Educate ourselves on things
Absolutely.
That we need to be celebrating for ourselves. You know, and I tell people all the time, in this particular Juneteenth, this particular day, no one is really capitalizing. And I use that word like I'm using it because right now I've been posting a lot of things talking about socialism, because socialism is not, to me, it's not anti-capitalism. It's not, that's not what socialism means to me. Socialism
right.
to me, and why I like it, is because it's for the greater good of society. It's not one percenter type environments where the 1% get everything, or if you can't afford this vaccine, then you just die. You know, that's, I want it to sound as harsh as I'm saying it. So socialism to me is not anti-capitalism. And when I talk about Juneteenth, nobody really capitalizes off Juneteenth, you know, items of Juneteenth, whether it's T-shirts or whatever the case may be. So I try to reach out to Black business owners when I do have that event. Hey, make some T-shirts. You know, sell these T-shirts, because once any other ethnicity decide to start selling Juneteenth items, guess what we're going to go out and do? We're going to go out and
buy. That's right. Absolutely.
Yes, and it's not going into the Black community's pocket anymore.
Absolutely.
You know, now other people are capitalizing off of it. And I try to get us to capitalize off of that, since it is a day to celebrate your ancestors. And, you know, last year we
Absolutely.
Did it, and I hope we get to do it this year. But that's what I just think as a whole, what the Juneteenth is. Well, I want to educate us. I want us to all come in and celebrate and just learn about, just celebrate each other. You know, there's really nothing you have to wear specifically. You know, I do advertise wearing your HBCU paraphernalia or your African attire, but you just come as you are. We just
right.
want us to celebrate the event and just have a good time and raise some money and send these children off to school with some money in their pocket. This year, I've added a 401k mutual fund because, again, I'm all about trying to build wealth. And for the first time, these children will start in a retirement that they would probably maybe will never have otherwise. So we're going to start it while they're 18, 19, 21, 22 years old, and they're not allowed to touch it until they decide to retire. And that means so much to me. And I think that's so much more than just sticking $500 or $1,000 in their pocket. It's educating them and teaching them about building wealth, because otherwise they don't know. They haven't been taught that at such a young age. They don't know anything about that. And they may not even recognize the importance of it when I give them this mutual fund. But they'll recognize it when they turn 50 and 55 years old. They'll recognize then. So it will
right.
be of an importance at those ages, and that's what I'm mostly excited about with this Juneteenth celebration.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, we're definitely going to do our part, whatever we can, to make sure that that goes over smoothly as well. So we're looking forward to it. We're going to get ready to swing across the top of the hour. After we come back, we're going to ask you a couple of questions about some things that are going on right around
okay.
us right about now, and get your opinions on them. And we got to go and kind of get into your evening activities. And
okay.
We thank you for being here.
Okay.
But hang around. Hang on, y'all. We'll be right back. Miss Nicole Petit is our special guest tonight on the special assignment with Breaking Chains. It's YET Radio. Pat standing by. I know he got a question for you, too. So we're going to swing into this break. We'll be right back. 858-257-9137 is Breaking Chains. YET Radio.
What up? God said he used the foolishness of this world, yeah, to confine the wise. So I guess that's why I don't understand, but I do.
I took off, fall down on the sky. I came from nothing to become a man. I started with a producer, now I got a band. Rock stop, steady, jumping in the sand. Running circles on the devil like a ceiling fan. Problems I gave him all this God and he gave me a chance. You don't understand. It ain't hard to tell, they got good.
to hear it from my soul. I'm all about God, cause the one that makes me whole. How can I lose when I can't hear one nothing today? Since my Lord and my Savior, he gave me a vision so I can be something. Got a whole church over like Jordan. Ain't no show, not spitting and recording. I'm glad he gave me this ability to get the word of God in the ministry. Yeah, but wait.
Hold up.
First thing I had to do was grow up. They wanna know my secret because I'm looking like the man, but it's the man with the plan, so I point up. I'm an old demon, so I'm sitting back. The heart to the Lord, yeah, I'm giving that. The word of God, I'm receiving that. He gave it unto me, now I'm giving back.
I took off on the down of the sky. I came from nothing to become a man.
Endured hardship like a soldier, and it's about to pay off. So I ain't got time to lay off. Going through the process, climbing up the rank like the playoffs. Plus, it's that new music. Somebody come pull a tape off. Been through the training, now it's time for these big boys to play ball. And there's only one superhero, so homie, pull your cape off. They say we hit them with the truth. That's the reason they can't face y'all. Cause they afraid of change like the weather in late fall. And no, ain't Nate, though. But I'm about to regulate what's in my power. Cause I don't wanna be a part of the great ball. Yep, it's gonna be a great ball if you ain't known it, you late, though. There's more to this Bible than just obey laws. Open your mind. My time and I got purpose with this here. You see me in the front, but God the one who pulled me out the rear. Call it what you want, I know his favor ain't fair. Catch me on the runway taking off just like a plane in the air.
I took off on the down of the sky. I came from nothing to become a man.
Breaking Chains. Call in live during the show at 858-357-9137.
And listen live on our website at youngadultstalk.org.
All right. Thank you, Deborah. Welcome back to Breaking Chains. Special assignment is on. Pastor Rod's on the air. How you doing? Our very special guest tonight, Mr. Nicole Petit. All right. Check this out. Got the, let's step hard real quick here. Let's step real hard. And I just want to just one hit a quitters. Let's talk about what's going on, this thing that got all our people in a panic right now. You know, I got my opinion and my thoughts on it, but it ain't about me. I want to hear from you on this right here, you know. Just one hit a quitter, knock them out.
Okay. Well, my opinion, because that's all it is, I think it's more, as I said earlier, I think it's more of a panic. the way I'm dealing with it is I'm aware, I'm paying attention, I'm following instructions, and I'm watching cartoons. You know, if you want to put it that way, I can't continue to watch, you know, all this. I think we're emotional as people. Something I still say all the time. I think we're still emotional, and we could just stop being so emotional with things. Just pay attention to what we need to pay attention to. Follow those instructions and keep it moving. Because if we continue to pay attention to social media or the news, we all gonna be around here twitching. So I can't do that. I just feel like, you know, we're running out of toilet tissue and everything else because we don't know. We are all in fear of the unknown more so than anything else. So if we knew what tomorrow would bring, then we won't be in such of a panic. We're all in fear of the unknown. Regardless of what that unknown is, this is the way we act towards it. And if we can just kind of find a way to gather that part of it, we wouldn't be in so much of a panic as we are now. But I think it's more of a panic because of the unknown and not more so of the virus itself. Yes, I do believe it's serious. I take it seriously. I do what I can to protect me and my children and my mom and, you know, my brother. I check on my brother and all my other loved ones. But I think it's more of a panic because of the unknown. And that's how I have to operate, because otherwise, if I paid attention to the news, we all know what the media does. I think the media knows what it's doing. And, it's all a lot of propaganda, some of it is. And we tend to say, okay, well, the media wants to put this out, and that's what they do. They throw it out there. They saturate the social media news with it. They saturate the TVs with it because that's what they want you to focus on. Now, tomorrow, as history has proven, you won't hear anything about this new virus. It'll just disappear. You know, when we talk about Ebola, what happened to it? Or when we talk about the other flus that have come about that was such a pandemic, what happened to them? They literally just disappear, like, overnight. Like, you have to ask yourself, hey, whatever happened to this virus? Whatever happened? Did they ever find a cure for it? We don't even know. Or at least I didn't see that part of it. I'm not saying that maybe somebody didn't, but I didn't. We're all just like wondering what happened. And that's the way things tend to happen in this country. So I'm aware of it. I pay attention to it, but I'm not one to attach myself emotionally to everything that's going on. I mean, I deal with two girls. And myself, I have enough emotions going on. I can't be adding all this other stuff. You let me know what's going on in the world. I got it. I get it. And I'm not going to be persuaded by anything other than what my mind needs to process. And that's the way I focus on anything. So, yes, take it seriously, but I take my precautions and I keep it moving.
Okay. So my next one is how do you feel and what do you think that we need to do once everything slows down and try to come back to a normal way of living, if we can get back to that, what do we need to do in our communities? And I want the world to hear from you, not from what they usually hear from us every night. How do you feel that what do we need to do to get back to being a community and becoming more productive than what we are and taking care of our community? What do we need to do?
Astonishing question, because honestly, I think what we need to be doing as a community is we need to be doing it now. We need to be taking care. We're at one of our most vulnerable states right now, because mentally, once your mind is all jacked up because of everything that's going on, as I always say again, is the body follows. So right now is the time to actually try to be as productive as you can to make sure the elders are good. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking about voting. You know, I'm thinking about stocks and bonds. I'm thinking about things like that. Yes, I'm taking care of myself, but outside of that, what can I do to help the community? So I'm having small talk groups about stocks and bonds because we have so much downtime. So we're educating each other about other things. You know, everyone else gets in, and 5 years from now, they've made all this money because we're in such a panic. We're not. That's all we're talking about is the virus. It's so many other things going on in the world.
Absolutely.
Right now, that's all we're talking about is damn virus. I'm like, man, we got it. We got a panic going on. We got it. Duly noted. Now, what else we need to be doing? Nobody else is talking about everything else that needs to be done in the community. We got students out of school. I'm making my daughter read. She got to read every day, whether it's a chapter out of a book I give her or whether it's a chapter out of a book that is something that she's interested in. It's not per se something that the educational system is trying to take her, make her read and shove down her throat. No, She going to get this knowledge about who she is. She going to get this knowledge about something that she's possibly interested in when she do go out to college. She has, of course, her choices. But now is the time to be focusing on our children, to be focused in educating them in certain things. Now is the time to be having those conversations with our children as far as sex is concerned. Now is the time, because our children are vulnerable, so now is the time to be talking to our children about their vulnerabilities and hugging on them. And as far as the community is concerned, check on your elders. You know, we don't think about the homeless people. They've been homeless. So them being outside is no big deal to them. You know, then we on social media talking about, man, I got to sit at home. You know how many folks don't even have a home to go to, or how many folks are in the home getting beat, or children getting mistreated, and they were looking forward to going to school to get away from that. We ain't thinking about none of that. That's all we talk about. So I'm like, okay, we get it. We're all adults. What can we be doing now? And those are the things that we should be doing now. If you're not one to want to go out in the community and help the homeless, I get it, because I'm not one to want to do that per se right now. But what else can you do, because there's so many things that's going on right now? Talk to your – start at home. We always say it starts from home. What are you and your children doing besides being on TikTok all day? You know, what are y'all doing? You know, are they still on social media? I think right now is the worst time for our children to be on social media all day, because every child typically that they're dealing with, they're just as depressed as they are. So they're all going into this depressed matrix, and we're allowing that to happen. Make your children get off of social media. We know as adults that social media is what it is, but our children don't know that. Our children look at social media as a reality. So as far as the community is concerned, yes, it starts from home. So start there. What books are you reading? What books are you asking your children to read? Are you checking on the elders? Are you educating on social media? Or are you just screaming bloody fire all day on social media about something that you heard? So it's easy. It's real simple as far as what we could be doing. Now is the time to do it. Once we get to a point to where we realize that collectivism isn't, that's a thing. Collectivism really is a thing. Once we realize that collectivism is the way we have to learn and be a unit, once we come out of this, hell, it's time to celebrate. It's time to celebrate. At that point, we should be celebrating. We should be celebrating life. But we got to start taking care of each other now. We got to start taking care of our community now, because other communities are taking care of themselves. A lot of us have turned into savage mode. We are in this survival of the fittest mode. We are in this real life self-preservation mode, where it's not about preserving your community or your culture anymore. It's about preserving yourself, because we're scared of the unknown. So right now is the time to say, okay, let's slow down. Let's see who I need to check on, because I never want to be in a situation to where I'm in need of something and I can't call on anybody. So right now is the time to check on your neighbors, check on people who you know could possibly be struggling. And if you do that, if everybody did that to at least one person, give somebody one roll of toilet tissue, you know, that is helping your community. And if we can do that at least once, touch one person while we're going through this, we can do so much. I know people are out there, you know, we're looking for masks. Let me tell you something. Our people, we gonna find something to find a way to make money. I'm seeing all these beautiful masks being made. I'm going to get two. I just got to figure out who I'm going to buy these two from. I don't have any plans on being around a population, but I'm going to buy two of them to support. They're beautiful. They're making all these, you know, face masks for people to go out in the community. That's a start. We have nurses going out collecting masks for, you know, their employees. Shout out to Misha. We're doing that. So we keep doing that and doing it now, then we won't have a reason to do too much after, because the aftermath is now. We have to save ourselves right now. Once we do that, when we come out of this, it's time to celebrate. It's time to turn up, because we're going to miss each other. We're social people. We have to be amongst each other. So now is the time to start helping each other right now.
That's good. That's good. That's good. Good, good, good. That's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Let me see. Apostle Gann, are you there? Do you have a question for Ms. Petit while she's on the line? After you heard all of the information she's given, do you have a question for us, sir?
Yes, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir, we can hear you.
Yes, I wanted to find out about you know, what program and what projects they had available for our single black women and those single mothers with children.
Mm. Now that's, you know, you've asked me a question that I don't have an answer for, but that's a question that needs to be asked. That's a question that lets us know that we don't have the assistance that we really need. Being a single black mother, I know the trials and tribulations and emotions that I've gone through to be a single mother with children. I call my children extreme children. They're either extremely bad, which they never are, or they're extremely brilliant. I consider children to be extreme. You either going to spend a lot of money on them, get them out of jail, or you're going to spend a lot of money on them, providing them education and making sure they're good until they're out in the world. Either case is expensive. Everybody don't have extreme children, but I consider my children extreme. So if you're dealing with children and you're trying to make sure they're good as a single mother, before I divorced, I never saw myself being a single mother. I take my hat off to single mothers because they literally have to do everything. It's a struggle to ask for help. People don't tend to offer help as much because on the forefront we appear to have it all, or we appear to have it, you know, all intact, when 90% of the time or 50% of the time we really don't. You know, we're at home or behind closed doors crying and kicking down doors or whining or whatever we're doing it. So that's a question I would like to know. What type of programs are out there for single black mothers? Because I don't know of one. That's a question I'm going to have to ask, because I don't know of one. And black women being dogged out the way we are dogged out by our own and by others, that is a harsh reality with you asking that question and me not knowing of any type of program. Not to say that there are none, but I have no clue of what's out there to support single black women. Maybe there are some groups. I'm sure there are some Facebook groups, but as far as hands-on environment, I have no idea. I do have a friend of mine, Kim. She has certain groups, and I'm sure there are some single mothers in that group where they get together and they chop it up and express themselves, maybe over a glass of wine and some hors d'oeuvres. That's the only thing I can think of as far as where we allow ourselves to get together and invent and come up with solutions and share our own solutions. I don't know of any professional environment that allows us to do that at all.
Mm. That's interesting to hear you answer that like that, with that answer, to say that you know of any. But I tell you what, off the microphones, we're gonna have to talk about that, because I think I might can provide an answer to you for that one right there.
Okay.
We're gonna
okay.
have to talk about that, because that's something that I would love to see take place, because you saying that, that's very concerning. That's also heart-wrenching to hear
is.
That. But but there are not a lot of programs out there for men either.
Right.
Because there are a lot of single fathers out there. There are a lot of
yes.
independent men that are trying to get their lives back. It's just so much going on that, you know, they
so
don't have
much.
Access to. So it's
yes.
it's a lot. Thank you for that answer. Apostle Gant, is there anything else, sir?
No, sir. I enjoyed listening, you know. It was powerful.
Thank
yeah,
you.
That's what she does. So we really enjoyed having you here tonight with
Amen.
The special assignment, and we look forward to having. And let your associates know that we do this on Mondays. We like to bring in different individuals, businesses, groups, whatever, you know, to come in and just talk, because we need to educate our community. We need to uplift and motivate our young people and even some of our older people to know that, you know,
yes.
you can get yourself together. We all make mistakes. We all fall. We get back up.
Mm-hmm.
And some people just need help getting back up sometimes.
Absolutely.
Still got a little fight in them, but just need a little help being picked up. And I don't think anything is wrong with that. I think we all have been in that point in our lives. And just listening to you putting out these books and things that you've admitted on the airwaves that you deal with, that in itself has broken some chains in a lot of lives out there. And that's what we come on to do, to break chains. Because it starts in the mind. It starts in the head. It's in your mind, the renewing of your mind. And is there anything that you would like to leave the listeners tonight, ma'am, before we go?
Yeah, what I'd like to leave everybody with is always keep in mind that you have a decision. You have a choice to make every day you get up. Every day you get up is a choice for that day to be a good day, a great day, or a bad day. So every day you get up, you have to make a decision on what your day will be. And as long as you know that you have breath in your lungs, that you have the ability to get up and start again, then we all should learn to do that. And we can't do it alone. Never think that you can do things alone. I did not do this alone. Yes, I am a single mother, but I did not get here alone. There are people that helped me on my journey, whether they helped me make a decision to move, to make my big move, or whether my children, you know, helped me make decisions as far as our future was concerned. I did not get to where I am today by myself, and I would never take full credit for that. So know that, reach out to the people who you love and trust. Know that those particular people are there to help you in any way. And know that it's okay to cry, my men and my women. It is okay. You live longer that way. I've always said we grow through concrete. We're roses. And we make great things out of any environment that we're in. So we have to continue to manifest that. And because of those ideas is why I am who I am today. Because I'm given an opportunity to make decisions on how I want my life to be every day. I refuse to mope over anything that happens that is considered to be a negative aspect in my life. No, I won't do it. So my final thoughts, just get up and make shit happen. That's it.
All right. That's good. That's good. Well, we thank you, ma'am, for coming on with us and joining us tonight. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow night with Dr. LaVert Kemp with Breaking Chains and History Talk. Dr. Kemp will be going back and he's a serious theologian, so check him out tomorrow. He's going to be telling you about where you come from and who you are and whose you are. You need to check that out tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. That's going to be real good. So make sure you check that out. Mr. Nicole, we thank you very much for being a part of the show tonight, and we look forward to the great things that you have going on. Keep us abreast of what's happening with you, and we look forward to having you on with us again. All right?
Thank you so much for having me. You too.
Okay. You be blessed, ma'am. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Breaking Chains, a special assignment. Have yourself a blessed evening. Apostle Gant, can you pray us up out of here, sir?
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father God, to him who is able to keep us from falling, Father God, we give you all the honor, we give you all the glory, we give you all the praise. In the name of your Son, Yeshua, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Everybody be blessed. Have yourself a good night. We love you. See you tomorrow night. Peace.
What up? Wondering why I act this way, they wondering why I do this, yeah. Wondering why I made this change, if you're wondering why I do this, wondering why I go so hard, if you're wondering why I do this, put away my old ways, came out the dark, and I've seen a line, man, I've seen a light, scaled and fell right off of my eyes, yeah, and I'm just sitting there, sincere, made that turn around just like a windmill, God revealed knowledge under me like I've been there, so clear, and
I love it.
I will rejoice and be glad in it, relax. He is my shield and my glory. Who can be against me when he's living in me?
greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Does anyone feel me? Jesus, my rock and my fortress, hold me down when I go to war with the enemy. Yes, sir, I'm finna get it in. But I said it all like somebody with a grenade and they pull a pin. Crazy the world that be living in, but I'm calm as a ring like a stroke string on a violin. Got another what I represent, D-O-N on my t-shirt. You can see it when I'm stepping in. Man, the spirit of the living God is in here. In my heart, that somebody stuck a sword up in here. Ain't no fear in me, watch a lion roar up in here. Take out the ground like an eagle and soar up in here. I'ma carry my cross, I'ma just carry it out. It's the end of one else for the Lord up in here. Ain't no need of looking at me, cause I'm about mine. He delivered me out of the fire right on time. Cause I could have been, would have been, maybe even should have been. Reaper digging the grace to put us in. But I'm God's son, I belong to him. Don't you see the resemblance? Content of the character is what I wanna implement. The old man dead can't continue to live in sin. It's over. I'ma give it my all. Saved by grace, I don't live under the law. Got a clean slate, and many of the afflictions of the righteous, but God has delivered us out of them all. Hey, they're wondering why I do this. Wondering why I act this way. They wondering why I do this. Wondering why I made this change. If you're wondering why I do this. Wondering why I go so hard. If you're wondering why I do this. Put away my old ways, came out the dark. Kinda seen a line. Man, it seemed like scale on the bell, crying off of mine. Yeah, and I'm just sitting there, sincere. Made that turn around just like a windmill. God revealed knowledge unto me like I've been there so clear. And I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it. This relationship, I love it. With the most I love it. Wasn't traded, I love it. For nothing, I love it. Oh, nah. This lifestyle, I love it. Even though it comes with its flaws, I'ma keep pushing to my purpose. Even go a little bit further. I got a few people that's counting on me. My grandma, she looking down on me. Devil mad cause I changed up. I ain't sipping lean of that love cup. I ain't getting high of that purple stuff. Got a spiritual high when I'm looking up. Thanking God, praising Him, worshiping my Savior. So focused, zoned in, it's authentic. No, no, pretend my destiny. I was born to win, cause I was born again with a game plan. Playbook called the Bible. I'm recruiting them but disciples. No gangbang, just revival. I'm killing the flesh, suicidal. Product of my environment. Invaded out of that environment. I'ma live testimony. My life's gonna inspire me. It's the point that we all must die. Then comes Christ's judgment. So I'ma keep doing this. Because I love it. Let the world know that He chose me. So I ain't concerned about a trophy. Yeah. Wondering why I do this. Wondering why I act this way. They wondering why I do this. Wondering why I made this change. If you're wondering why I do this. Wondering why I go so hard. If you're wondering why I do this. Put away my old ways, came out the dark. Kinda seen a light. Man, it seemed like scale done fell right off of mine. Yeah, and I'm just sitting there sincere. Made that turn around just like a windmill. God revealed knowledge unto me like I've been there so clear. I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it. This relationship, I love it. With the most I love it. Wasn't traded, I love it. For nothing, I love it.
God bless and thanks for listening to Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. Listen every night as we live stream on www.blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio or call in live 858-357-9137. Breaking Chains on YAT Radio, leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.